have Mara Petit, which is a quorum.
Right.
And the minutes for February 4th, 2018.
I'll move them.
I'll second.
Any questions, additions, amendments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right. And we also have Tom Cajun in attendance. Thank you, Tom. And
I know, no, I'm saying.
What did I forget?
Including the Worcester County.
I know.
That's why I did that.
Do you plan to stay for the whole meeting, Tom, or do you want me to move anything to the beginning?
I'll answer that in the last one because, thank you.
All right.
Because I wasn't employed in 17.
So, resolution number 91, authorizing the chair of the legislature to enter into an agreement with Awareness Inc. for the 2019 appropriation of the legislature.
I'll move it. Laura's going to second it?
I'm just going to second it, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. Can we catch her? Is that called in?
Yes.
I spoke to Tracy, and they're in the process of working out all the details of the last.
Of last year's? Of their last contract?
Yeah.
Okay. I think that would be good to see. I also have some concerns about this one. So in Schedule A, the number one talks about the firm providing peer-to-peer educational services who are in need of behavioral support. And then in number four, talks about the firm providing all services in compliance with local regulations. And it says the firm does not provide any services for which it does not have a license, certification, or authorization from OSIS. But encouraging youth to change behavior is probably a counseling service. They also have their licensed person is has insurance, but there's no insurance covering these youth who are providing these services, and
they volunteer.
They so they have some coverage under Good Samaritan laws, I guess. But in the recitals, it's the first whereas describes it as a peer-to-peer educational program, and I think that is something that we agreed we could contract with them. Contract also says that it's providing them with administrative fees and asks for a $4,000 payment in advance, none of which I think matches what I understood what this money was going to be used
because
for.
Because it is volunteer, correct?
It is volunteer, except that I
believe she pays. I think she pays for gas.
Secretary.
Yeah. So, we had talked about having a very specific, line by line
yeah.
of what this was all going to go
yeah.
for. So, Ken?
Yeah, okay, I mean, just a thought for you, though. It's not a lot of dollars in this scope of things. I also see that kind of that conflict here, but if you wanted to hold it, I'd work with you. Maybe to come up with a more streamlined contract that doesn't have conflicts in it.
Mm-hmm.
That's
I mean, I just appreciate
and it might make it easier for Marie also.
If she knows what it is that we are giving her money for
exactly
and
right.
what she has to
right.
have receipts
right.
for and what's going to, because we still don't have last year kind of straightened out. And so maybe as we straighten that out, it'll also help us know what we should put in this year.
I know that where the conflicts have been in the past is she's just looking for some funds to run her effort.
And pizza money,
right,
I think,
but
yeah,
our process
for the volunteers.
A lot of things we didn't have a receivable. For example, she uses free space for her meetings. Like obviously, renting space would be a billable charge, right? So, but I'd be willing to, the spirit of this, to work with you to try to come up with something that would not only meet the muster of the controller's office and the finance department, but also not raise the specter of OSIS.
Mm. Yeah.
Which I know in the past they've had some, I know that she had some legal issues when they called her in the past, where, like, for example, when there's been public meetings and you have kids coming before the legislature saying, I'm a heroin addict and she saved my life, and they call and say, well, He's not licensed to do that type of treatment. What are you doing? So, you know, so, but there's probably a way to focus more on the education.
Yeah, I think.
For programming and not go down that path. So, but if you wanted to do that, I'd be willing to work with you. First, I just thought this.
Yeah, that
like sounds like a
too,
good
yeah.
solution.
Yeah.
So maybe Mary and Ken will work together. Or Ken
yeah.
will come up with something, and we'll have Mary take a look at it and
yeah. I mean,
interface
not,
with
again, not a,
Marie.
Again, it's not like it's a there's not like an urgency for the payment, so we can take a look at it and talk about it. So.
Yeah,
well,
and
it, I think the peer to peer in the education does speak volumes. So when they're saying about you know modifying behavior, a lot of times that can be through peer pressure. It's not necessarily professional help.
Right.
So,
right.
But we had also, you had brought it up, we also talked about a policy on funding non-governmental, not-for-profit agencies and having at the end of the year deliverables and seeing what their budget and expenses are. Yeah, and not paying, or even in lieu of an RFP, but, you know,
right.
not paying real operational costs like gas, heat, or electric, because we want to make sure that these organizations can manage to continue their program even if for some reason they didn't get funding from us. You know, it could be seed money, but
yeah.
you know, I did find a policy that was pretty interesting, so maybe I can get it to you, Ken, to take a look at
sure,
it.
Sure, I'd look at it, but you know, I appreciate the spirit in which this legislative
yeah.
amendment was done versus the...
Yes.
Yeah, this is a follow-over from
yeah,
last
okay,
fall.
You're trying to support a programming concept
mm-hmm.
that you all support versus...
A successful program.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A successful
program.
Well, I would debate that.
No, I would not
sheriff.
Debate that
okay.
at all.
The sheriff came
I don't know how you could debate that
gave
in
a,
any way.
Yeah, gave a high
yeah.
marks.
And I know people that are alive because of that program. So, I mean, to me, one person is worth anything, but it's been
so
incredible. But I recognize that we have to do things a little differently.
Yeah.
And the reason I didn't want to do it, and I explained to Kathy before, is that we were doing it at the very end, and I wanted not say we're not funding you starting right now.
Yeah.
Now we have this whole year for her to line up other things or whatever, and see if she can meet the requirements for what we're looking for.
Yeah, and I think this is in the direction, but it kind of meshes too many things together, some of which might get us in trouble and that aren't even necessary, as Laura's saying. You know, if we're talking about peer-to-peer education that has a behavioral benefit,
mm-hmm.
that's fine. We can do that, right? So that's
right.
what it should say.
Right.
And
it implies
and
counseling, this contract.
Yeah.
Right.
I read it that way, too.
Yeah.
And it makes me worried because I know they were looking for funding for their counselor to get further certification. And so I'd like to see it specified that because we decided we weren't going to do that,
mm-hmm.
right? So I'd like to see that specified.
With that, she pays a stipend to the kids that that do the peer-to-peer. Like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, so
how do we do this? We postpone it to...
Take no action.
Take no action, or...
Postpone it to next month.
Postpone it to next month. And do we have to have a vote on that?
Do we make the action to postpone?
Yeah. Second.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, so we'll give this one back to Nettie.
Thank you.
Good. And move to resolution number 99, approving the execution of a contract amendment in excess of $50,000 entered into by the County Children's Home of Poughkeepsie, New York. And you want to explain this to
us,
Ken?
Sure, this is actually a good conversation because it shows you a little bit of you know how we've always been trying to improve the process. So essentially we contract with foster care providers all over the state, some out of state. The rates are set by the state of New York. The terms of the contract are set by the state of New York. And for the most part, the placement of these children is required by law. It's not a place where we have a lot of flexibility. And when I first joined the county 7.5 years ago, we were, you know, setting the thresholds very low. And we were bringing, if you check the minutes of both meetings, you'll find that we're coming forward with 4 or 5 contract amendments like every month. And then when you changed your policy that you wanted to see contract amendments over 50, it came more and more. And what was happening is that as children's needs or circumstances changed, we are moving them from one foster care provider to another.
Mm-hmm.
And because the thresholds were set low and the service is so expensive, especially the therapeutic foster homes, that it was just causing a lot of paperwork, a lot of mentions. I remember at the time, the vice chair of the committee was Carl Mifilio, and he was like, my God, there must be a crisis that there's all these children. But the truth is, it was the same number of children. It's just that they were moving around the services. So what we tried to do was kind of change the parameters to build some more flexibility in the process, so we weren't coming back to the legislature every month for something that, again, it's state-required stakes rates where we really couldn't affect the change. So at the time, I had this, you know, what I thought was a brilliant idea at the time, and I set every contract at $3 million, right? And because I know, you know, functionally, I can't spend more money than that's authorized in the county budget, right? And at the time, Ken Ronk and Tracy Bertels were like, this is great, but we've just authorized $80 million worth of spending, and you have, you know, $35, $40 million in the budget. That's a problem, right? So, and we do these contracts on like a 3-year cycle, right? Mm-hmm. So we agreed, like, yeah, maybe we took a little too much flexibility. So what we did a year ago is we came to you and we said, listen, we're going to change everything. And what we did is we lined up all of our foster care contracts, and we put the contracts in tranches. So there's like a couple in like an under 50 threshold where we just take care of administratively. There's a couple in like a $500,000 maximum, not to exceed, million, 2 million, and there's a 3 million, a couple in a 3 million. That was kind of the way, you know, let's, you know, be more realistic, you know.
Based on past experience, correct, what we would likely,
right, we
need.
We, you know, again, and then to the extent we pierce a tranche, we're going to go back to the legislature for more money. And so this is the first time I've been back to you for more money for a particular provider. So this is a provider that we had in the $1 million tranche area. In August, we placed a family with seven children in this provider. The rate is $522.74 a day. Extremely expensive. So, again, but that's why we chose the $1 million threshold, because we knew that that's kind of what we had, and we had enough appropriated in the contract to make it. In September, we had to place another family of six children with this provider on an emergency basis. So we now have 13 children in that, this one facility. It's an oddball. You can't predict that you're going to have a family of six children being removed from their parents. So we're going to exceed the amount. They're no longer in the $1 million tranche. We need more money in the contract. So that's why we're here tonight to increase the not to exceed for this particular contract.
So just in the little ticker there,
yeah.
Does one of those have a misplaced decimal? Because
Which one?
So in the do you have it in writing?
Yeah, I can give it to you.
So it says $1,080,000,
yep,
and says 36% federal, and then it has $870,000, which is 29% state, and then it has $1,050 as 35% county. So it seems to me that must be just...
Yeah, that's a decimal plate.
That should be $1,050,000.
That's right.
Or $100,000 or something.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you're looking at the...
No, $1,050,000, if it's 36% is $1,080,000. Then 35% would
be
just a little less than that.
That's true.
Yeah, those numbers need to be updated.
Okay, so we'll amend that.
I don't
think we made a motion to bring it forward yet.
Oh!
So.
Yeah, it's ministerial.
That's okay.
I'm so sorry, yes. Would you like to make that motion?
Okay, there you go.
So it's motioned and seconded to discuss it.
I noticed that these are in Poughkeepsie, even though the Children's Home has one in Kingston.
Mm-hmm.
So are we placing Ulster County kids outside of Ulster County?
Absolutely. We place children. It all depends on the particular services they provide at the facility.
Okay. And we also use...
And plus availability.
Okay. And we also use Family of Woodstock, correct?
This is a different type of foster.
Okay, so this is emergency where you'd have to pull the kids out and put them somewhere until...
Yeah, and then there might be other circumstances, or right, particular services that children need. A lot of times there's a lot of psychiatric issues when you use a facility like this.
Behavioral management.
Have you seen a lot
type
more of that, the mental health
or
thing?
Where we're seeing most of our removals right now relate back to opioids.
Yeah.
And that's... last month, I think we had 9 removals. We're still severely impacted by opioids, with both parents becoming addicts, and it's having a terrible toll on children in this county. And again, it stresses our child protection services unit, a preventative unit. And again, we're doing a lot of things to reunify families, to get families in recovery, reuniting with their children. We have some good programming that's up in the space, and we're having some success.
Cornell has a good program, right? For families with addictions, getting their foster care kids back.
Right, so we have a program we run called Celebrating Families. It's an evidence-based program. I'm not sure what Cornell, because I know we work with them on several things. We do, but that is still a huge challenge. It's one where more resources are going to be needed as we go forward.
Because I know their class was full like in a second.
Yeah.
That sounds like a voluntary one rather than being mandated.
Yeah. No, ours are specifically geared toward a situation where you have parents that are in recovery and children that have been removed from them.
Theirs is too.
Yeah.
Yep.
Any other questions or discussion? Does somebody want to make a motion about the correction here?
So the system's working. So we don't have blanket, again, in the way that I had set up 3 years ago, you wouldn't be seeing me tonight, right?
Mm.
But again, this is, I think, the right level of flexibility. With
so that
tonight, we've done a million, then we added another million, but now, again, we're going to hit just, unexpectedly are now going to be in the $3 million threshold. So we've got to.
And I saw Safe Harbor in here too. So we fund Safe Harbor separately and then through the Poughkeepsie Children's Home?
I have to look at it.
Safe Harbor in this resolution?
Yeah, I just want to saw Safe Harbor.
That might be a program requirement, not a. You might be confusing it. Yeah.
All right.
And I'll make a motion to fix the typo.
I'll second it.
All in favor of fixing the typo?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
She probably should have been more specific. What was it? Decimal point in the funds?
For county.
Correct the county contribution to reflect 35%.
Nettie will make it look
nice. This is one of the core responsibilities of what we do, and it's extremely expensive.
Yeah.
Well, and I think, we can finish the discussion, and I'll call the vote. I think you were exactly right. I think this is the right level of oversight, because if you were increasing this much and we didn't know about it, it'd be leaving us a little bit in the dark about something that is important we know about. Mm-hmm. And also, that there are actions in place to address it, both on the providing the services side, but also trying to alleviate the need for the services for the Celebrating Families. And one of the things we can talk about at the end of the meeting is that, in terms of our getting to understand just all that we're trying to do in terms of dealing with the opioid crisis, I think
and I also don't want to I don't know that the these two large family situations have anything to do with opioids.
Hopefully it doesn't
Fair
have
enough.
To do with child care. I had this conversation with a CPS worker from years ago, and he says, we were all latchkey kids. He says, now the threshold is not whether the kids are able to at 11 or 12 to stay at home by themselves, but now they have to be teenagers. So I don't know what difference a year makes, but he goes, there were cases where they were moving them because the parents weren't there because they were latchkey kids.
Well, these particular cases are much
more severe than that. Okay.
These are, again, in all honesty, it's hard. I mean, again, it's hard to place a family of three. Place a group of six kids and seven kids under the requirements that
proper,
we have to be on the law
proper circumstances.
It's a tough one. So the solutions to solve those problems are really expensive. We spend a lot of money transporting children to their schools on a daily basis. I mean, it's extremely expensive.
Well, you have to once a year, if they have siblings, if they're split up, right? Don't they have to make arrangements to set up in a visitation once a year?
Depends on the court.
Yeah.
You're in the courtroom there.
Yeah.
But
I thought that was a state thing.
No, but again, we, I could tell you stories that would, just make your head straight up, and some of the abusive situations, and even some more practical ones where you might have, a large group of children with a certain religious belief, and where you place those children.
Has to be supportive.
Has to be supportive of their religious environment, right? So it's a complicated world. But I think we've struck the right balance with regard to the tranches
and funding.
Okay, you see them, okay, this is the first one you've seen in a while, but again, yeah, we clearly are going to overspend the contract. It's in the same circumstance with two very large groups of children.
Gotta have money to take care of them.
We never could have predicted that a $1 million contract would need to be a $3 million contract.
All right. Any further discussion on the resolution?
There's nothing in Ulster County. I mean, it would be nice to keep them in their school district in there. So you're talking transportation.
Oh, yeah, we get them.
You have to bring them back from Poughkeepsie over here every day.
We do a lot of that transport.
Yeah.
And this isn't an anomaly. These are very, very large families where you remove all the children. It's not for a
So on the resolution, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? And we can go to resolution number 100, approving the execution of contract amendment in excess of $50,000 entered into the by the county, Liberty Resources, Inc., Department of Social Services. Do we have a motion to
move it? I'll second.
All right. Ken, do you have comments on this?
Oh, sure. This is a service that we RFP'd for in 2016. This is the first of 2 1-year extensions. It essentially adds $69,000. It covers the expense of a licensed social worker who does case management for youth in our care that are either on a diversion status or on court ordered probation.
Any questions on this one?
Yeah, how does this tie into the, not the raise the age,
These are children that are younger.
They're younger than 16? Oh,
these are 14, okay. Generally 14 and 15 year olds, generally. Oh, look at that sunset.
I know, it was blinding me. I wanted to point you, I wanted you to look at it. It's
That's
phenomenal.
Why I try not to sit where
can
I
can see
it? Stuff like
right.
Oh. And the
right.
Oh,
last
wow.
Week too.
All right, no extra charge for the
spectacular
so
moment
how
of
young
scenic
do they
beauty.
Start, do they start at 8 years old?
Well, these are PINS diversion cases, so these are like 13, 14 year olds. Yeah, but there can be an older child, but you know, it's definitely what we're doing. This is a social services contract, you know, through Aquarius Children's Services, so generally, you know, younger teens.
It's just something I always used to threaten my kids with if they didn't go to school.
Oh, boy.
You know, the math art doesn't quite work these days. Trust
no.
Me.
Any other questions on the resolution? All in favor?
Aye.
Laura?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right.
Ma'am?
All right. Any new business on the agenda before old business?
No, I think I'd like to tie what I have to say in with the marijuana use.
Okay.
Can we bring it into the opioids as well? Or okay.
Any business, whether old or new. Thank you, Ken. Yes. So, Laura.
Okay. Don't be a monster. Get in touch with me, and he'd also send a copy to Rich Charantine, which was forwarded through Vicky, and it was the concerns about a New York Post article that came out about 111 metric tons of heroin going through New York City and ending up in hotbeds like Kingston.
Was of heroin,
it
right?
Was heroin, but it's the drug use in general, and his concern being a retired police officer, and I reached out to a couple of other ones, was that we're addressing the secondary problem, which is, you know, children being removed from homes and addicts and suicides and everything else that comes along with it. And I'm not quite sure where we could go with it, but I also reached out to the sheriff. And, you know, quite honestly, they feel that there needs to be more boots on the ground. Even though the population of Ulster County has gone up significantly, the police force has not. And, you know, Mike said specifically back in the late 50s, they brought in, you know, an entity to do basically an audit. who said the city of Kingston should have 90 police officers. You know, and back then they had a horse patrol. I think we're going into maybe the 70s and 80s. Bicycle beat cops. They got to know the public. And he says, you're putting, you know, protection out. He said, because if you don't, what's going to happen is you're going to have the other elements move in. You know, and he said, for fun one day, I parked, you know, towards Midtown. And he says, just to see if I saw more cops or more illegal activities. And he said, they were just going on a broad daylight, you know, group of five people getting together, a couple of swaps, walking on, you know, daywalkers, he called them. But I don't want this to become a police society, but I think, you know, we really need to look at funding something other than attacking the secondary problem and keeping the drugs out of the community. So...
It brings up a lot, and you know, what do we have in terms of evidence of what works best for addressing this? And I don't know that literature. You know, what Kingston is going to do as opposed to what Ulster County can do. It seems like to me that it's worth discussing that element in particular in the law enforcement committee.
Yeah, I'm going to wait for that one too.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
I haven't yet fulfilled my pledge to Mr. Cajun to send his materials to the public health department and to discuss it with them. We haven't had a healthy Ulster County meeting. But I did obtain them from Nettie today in a form that I can do that. And I did take another look at them. And I'm still not 100% convinced about the comparisons between national, state, and Ulster County. But it doesn't matter. The figures are really worrisome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether you take Ulster County to be worse than the average. If we just look at those numbers for Ulster County.
Because it doesn't really make a difference, really.
Right. Except
it... with the arrest records. Got a problem.
Yeah. So, so I am interested in this. I had been serving as a kind of informal liaison to the Ulster County Opioid Abuse Task Force, and have become a little bit better informed because of that, but not yet well enough informed of all the that has been tried and what seems to work in terms of addressing. You know, the task force did divide up into several groups in terms of dealing with supply, which is the issue of this New York Post article, how does the material get here, dealing with inclination to use, and then dealing with treatment. And I only was able to sit in with one of the groups, not all of them. So. I do think we'll be getting some more information over the next couple of months that will be helpful, and I can talk with Vin Martello, who is in charge of running that task force. Maybe he could come and talk with our committee, as even while it's still in draft, about some of what the document will contain, so we begin to have an idea of it.
And Dr. Smith was, if I remember right, was she doing a kind of a broad survey on what doctors were writing scripts as far as the opioid issue?
Wasn't aware of that, but could be.
I don't know if I check. If not, perhaps it's not a bad idea, because you want to see who's dispensing large quantities too. I mean, I'll go back to when my son had a kidney stone and he walked out of the emergency room with 30 pills, and then when he went to see the urologist, he had another 60. Now, you know, thank God the kid didn't like them. So, in fact, I still found some. They were rolled, the cat rolled them out from under the bed. But, you know, sometimes it's just dispensing so much. And then are they sharing? Or if they're left in a cabinet, or even for a senior, are the kids getting into them? You know, I'd like to know if there's an area or a medical practice that we should also be keeping an eye on.
Now, Kathy, do you know, like, is it required of all doctors to report what opioids they're prescribing? Because I know that you can, like, when a patient comes in, you can say, because I know people that work in doctor's offices, and they've said they've never had any scripts or whatever, and when they type in, it comes up.
Yeah.
So how does that work?
So in order to prescribe, doctors have to have a special clearance and have a DEA number so that they're tracked by the enforcement officials. And then their prescriptions are tracked. What didn't used to happen, but is supposed to be happening better now, is that there would be cross-referencing among the clinicians. So I think seeing if the health department can look into that, whether that's happening in Ulster County. Also, I believe Ulster County last year under Mike Hine was going to sign on to a lawsuit against pharmaceutical companies for their prescribing. And so we could ask for an update on that, whether that happened.
Yeah, yeah.
They're applying for bankruptcy.
The pharmaceutical companies? The ones that
under, I mean, they're making a fortune. They pay millions of dollars. Because the same son who had that script works for a company that these big pharmaceutical companies, he's got like a $40 million contract. And they contract with the doctors, and then the doctors bill. It's nice, right?
There are tens of thousands of lawsuits against them. They're going to owe billions. They're owed more than they got. So that allows them to file bankruptcy.
Well, we'll see where that all happens. And I think if you'll make a note, Nettie, I would like to see if we can get someone from the Ulster County Opioid Prevention Task Force to come and talk with us.
Like Vince?
Like Vince.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy to reach out to him on that.
I'm going to start trying to raise the public. You know,
I think
as far as I'm concerned, mothers, parents should have been notified of this many years ago. That their children are in danger in their high schools.
And the vaping and stuff now, too.
Yeah.
60% is a lot more than the measles.
Yeah.
And they had a PSA on measles.
Right. But if you get two outbreaks, it hits the national news.
The difference is that is that I know what to do about measles.
It's manageable.
You know, I know to immunize will prevent measles. And we have to deal with the fact that not everybody likes immunization, so it's not entirely simple.
Okay, but some of the kids that immunized getting measles?
No. I mean, once you're immunized, if you have the full series, it's very, very good prevention. So it's really unimmunized children or adults that spread measles. But
as a parent, you want to know if your kid's in danger.
Yeah.
Yes. However, if you let people know that there's a danger and you don't have a valid or at least plausible course of action to take, you can make people anxious, and that can actually contribute to the problem. Because there are some indications that the reason that drug use rates are going up is people are just very, very stressed. So
the anxiety of teenagers, I mean, that I'm seeing now with kids that I work with, it's really unbelievable, the anxiety that they have, and I don't know what's really creating the anxiety. That's, you know what I mean? What's changed from 10 years ago, even, to have it be? Because I'd be interested in knowing what the numbers were at, like, Health Alliance, because I know personally of several people that have had kids admitted recently.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think part of that.
I didn't hear you, Tom.
8 years ago, it was 59%.
So it was only gone up 1%, so it was still bad then.
Yeah.
Because the problem is, too, is that they're admitted, but then they're kicked out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no, and the way they handle things, I was personally involved with someone, they wound up at Four Winds.
Mm-hmm.
They were 15? They were referenced to a counselor. The counselor only spoke to the child, never spoke to the parent. The parent was not involved, like, they didn't involve the parent. So how can you make good decisions, even though they were a minor? They didn't even, when they were in the waiting room waiting for them, they made the appointment with the kid.
If the child
does not get... But there should be, not that you would be breaking confidentiality, but you should be in some way helping the parent with some direction on what way to proceed, because obviously whatever they're doing isn't working, or they wouldn't be there to some degree.
Right. Well,
and
it's
not
very
always,
complicated.
But to some degree.
It's
but
very
it's
complicated.
Just really, but it seems like it's more of a this and this instead of a partnership is really what you need as a team to get somebody to a better place.
The other issue that you alluded to that I'll make explicit is that if you have a short-term admission, which is up to a month, they consider long-term, but addiction requires for many of the substances abstinence of at least 6 to 9 months in order for the person to really be cleared of the addictive impact of the agents. So we clearly are not, in most cases, providing.
And that wasn't even brought up in this one case that I'm talking about. It was an issue. It was an issue, mm-hmm. but it was never even brought up or referred to or even acknowledged as being, you know, one of the issues.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really, I think it's. I don't know, I don't think the tools are there for people to support their kids through.
Right. Well, I know that both Dr. Smith and Ken spend a lot of time trying to find access to resources that will allow us to address this, both in terms of established treatment, but I'm going to encourage them and see what they can do on perhaps some piloting of some additional new programs. And I think that some of that is being wrapped into the recommendations of the Prevention Task Force.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think we should continue to have it as a topic for our old business. I think increased attention to it is good, especially if coupled with some statement of what actions are being taken to try to ameliorate the situation, to make it better.
Well, I think one of the issues, too, is that you hear people say that they smoked pot when they were young and it wasn't a big deal. Mm-hmm. I think this is a whole different ballgame. It's not what
pot.
It was. It's not the same pot. It's not the same. It's not the same. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of...
Most people didn't turn out.
That's true, too.
But
sometimes
they're...
Most people didn't walk to Woodstock.
Yeah.
That's what
but sometimes they're way down the road before they realize that it wasn't the same thing. So, you know.
All right. Well, let's continue and let's try to educate ourselves and bring in some experts who can educate us. Audit committee, I didn't have any conversations with Craig about this, and I haven't heard that Joe is pushing at this point. There were some questions that we raised about how this overlapped with other committees and... Do you know anything, Laura, about what he's thinking at this juncture of Tracy is?
Yeah, well, I think as far as the health committee, he was looking at the stop loss and health consortiums. You know, first he's going to have someone come in who specializes in this.
But he won't do, and he said he wouldn't do anything unless it comes out of our committee asking.
Right. Now, would stop loss, would that come out of this committee, or would that be administration of personnel?
I think, reviewed it last year when that stop loss insurance came.
You did, that was from
came
Ways
up.
And Means, though, wasn't it?
No,
it wasn't.
Was it Ways and Means?
So I'm wondering if this might be the wrong committee for it to come through, because it's more from the financial end.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, so I'll talk to him about that. Maybe if it came out of Ways.
But I would like to look into that.
Yeah, I mean, it would be a way to save money, as long as you're going to need a company to come in and do an audit to make sure that it's viable. It's my understanding you have to have a certain number of municipal staff sign up.
But even before we get there, we can see what because Ken kind of alluded that there's some state law problems with doing it.
Yeah, but
didn't he say that? So
I think it's at what
level
of government and all that.
Right.
So
many employees.
Duncan County has done it. You need so many employees.
2,000, I think, right?
Yeah.
Or 200.
I mean, we've got 1,300 just here in this county. So I mean, just county employees.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll wait to have that become more fully formed so we have something to look at and review.
But I would kind of like to move on it fairly fast before he gets other stuff on his plate.
That's a good idea.
That, you know.
Yeah.
Because there's only going to be so much that they can are actually going to be able to move forward on, so.
Yeah.
And I did forward from Tompkin County the two PDFs or the PowerPoints, and I had asked him, because I think they implemented this in, maybe they did it in 2018, but if they had their audit out yet to see what the financial impact was, so I'm waiting to hear back from him on that.
I think it was moving along, so. Okay. Any other items that we should address? Any motions that anyone would like to make?
Talk to adjourn.
That's the one I was thinking of.
Okay.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Excellent. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
And please give Craig our best wishes.
And so we'll, I have talked.